During these testing times, I found the perfect thing to help me relax and practice mindfulness. Building a Lamborghini. Okay, it's not a real Lamborghini, it's a Lego Lamborghini, but still, you build a Lamborghini, you tell people, especially if it can help find joyful focus in a time when I need it most. Now, before you start, Lego isn't just for children. It's got products designed to challenge adults too, like a Lamborghini, works of art, even skylines from around the world. Now, these types of projects can really give you a well-needed break from the pressures of everyday life. I've lost myself in Lego, the whole building experience, many, many times. While I was working on the 8-speed sequential transmission of my green Lambo, everything else just melted away. They have lots of options for any experience level, so it really doesn't matter if you haven't built with Lego for a while. Search Lego Adults and find your joyful focus.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Hello, Gavin.
Hello, John.
You've been on perky form this week, haven't you?
Why, thank you.
It looks like you're back on the coffee. No, after we banned you for a bit because you were too handstand, you're back on it.
I think they were double dosing me.
Yeah, but it really shows. When people say to Gav, like, you must be sleeping nights, I'm thinking, no, he's still up at night.
Yeah, he's just had a double coffee,
so he's not sleeping better. Coffee's the opposite to booze, I suddenly realised the other day.
Yeah, it is.
Well, no, I suddenly realised, I shared it with the listeners.
Right.
It really is.
It is.
But I think people sometimes underestimate that you're getting soberer. The more you drink it. You have 4 coffees, you're now super sober.
Super sober?
Yes. And, wow. And some people, I suddenly think I'm bad sober.
Right.
I'm pretty good drunk.
Yeah.
But it turns out I just get much more neurotic and I'm...
As you get soberer.
Yes, as I get soberer. Whatever you were, drunk or sober, I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. I love it sometimes when you come into the studio and I can smell wine.
Yes, it's nice.
And I can smell gin.
It just keeps us on our toes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's... Coming up, we explore the world of athleisure wear, which was a great bit of cheese salading from you, that was. That was my big punchline to the whole thing. I even said, you've heard of sports leisure, you've heard of smart but casual. You went,
straight in
athleisure,
there.
I've seen it called.
Yeah.
And it was live on air, and I sort of thought to myself, I mean, you'll hear that moment in the podcast where that whole item evaporates in my mind as the Woodman blunders in with his size 11s. What I'll do is, I thought it was a great time to reveal the whole punchline for it.
Absolutely right.
I thought, perfect opportunity for me to pipe up. Anyway, we've also got a giant rabbit and everyone's favourite moment of the show all week, all year, all month, whenever it's on air, another memory of me. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Contrasting stories.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows the amazing bias we have, this blindness.
Towards humanity.
No, to everything else that's on this planet. You know, it's like anything kills a human from the animal world. It's just outrageous.
Yes.
And considering what we perform every
becomes
day.
Becomes a man-killer.
Yeah, right. Yes. Must die. And that says a lot about where the Neanderthals went.
Right.
The human mindset in terms of anything challenging us whatsoever must be destroyed.
Destroy it, yeah.
It's the Dalek mindset.
It really is.
Let me get this.
Go on.
Clearly not from this planet.
It's a simple mindset.
Yeah, it is.
Exterminate!
It's binary.
Exterminate! That's all it is. Yeah, a shark's bitten a
kill.
Man.
Kill.
Exterminate!
Yeah. It's by definition rogue if it kills a human.
In fact, next time I overtake one of those lorries with animals destined for an abattoir or everything, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to slow down by the driver and I'm going to shout out the window, "Exterminate!" An Australian surfer has told how he paddled back to shore, walked hundreds of metres after surfing, suffering catastrophic wounds, great white shark attack. Yeah?
Wow.
Not a shark attack. Very different.
Different thing.
Pardon my language.
Very
apologies
different.
For that, yeah.
But no less stressful.
Yes.
Go
and,
on.
Sometimes, yeah, let's not get into that. But I apologise for that anyway. I don't know why, but big size look at me like I should do. The 29-year-old has been enjoying a normal day surfing. Huh. Just shows you, doesn't it? On Sunday at Kangaroo Island. I don't know why it's called that, mate.
What made you call it that?
Because there's no kangaroos there. So it's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
When the shark attacked, he said it felt like being hit by a truck.
Right.
It bit me around my back, buttock and elbow, took a chunk out of my board.
Wow.
I got a glimpse of the shark as it let go and disappeared. So there you go. That's front page news because it happens. And every year, if you look at it, about 9 people get killed by sharks.
Right.
And yet you'd think the sea was boiling. Literally bubbling. I get this, right?
Go on.
So that's
That's shark on man violence.
Right, yeah.
Check man on carp stuff.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Poland's carp face a harrowing time at Christmas. Squashed into tanks at the supermarket, bundled into carrier bags, and then left to splash in the buyer's bathtub before being slaughtered and served as the centrepiece at Christmas Eve.
Is that the Polish Christmas dinner
special?
Yes, I think
they eat carp.
Wow.
And that's... But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You think, we've got one guy here who's just had a shark taken a bath. You want to see what the carp are about to go through? But they're living in baths.
And also, the guy was swimming in the shark's home.
Yes.
The carp isn't hanging around in someone's kitchen.
Imagine that shark had dragged that human off.
Exactly.
To some little rock pool.
Yeah.
Just to keep him there for a bit.
That's right, and making stuffing.
Yes.
And,
or he's found a little air bubble.
A table.
He's found an air bubble underwater, like an air cave, yeah, where he can drag the human.
Keep him fresh.
And just keep him there and just toss in the odd prawn.
Oh, God.
So he's fine. And then eventually he'll just wait for a suitable tide and he comes out and that's their Christmas lunch. And,
oh,
and there's millions of humans under there waiting to be devoured by sharks. Anyway, these days... those days may be numbered. A landmark court case in Warsaw in which three fishmongers at a supermarket store were found guilty of cruelty for keeping their fish in unacceptable conditions. This case has dragged on for a decade.
You're kidding.
Because everyone's so keen on the carp there.
Wow.
And do you know how many carp the Poles buy each year?
How many?
8.5 million.
No. They're massive.
8.5 million carp. I mean, in Britain, if someone catches a carp, it's in the papers.
It goes back in the pond.
Yeah, they put it straight back in the pond. No one dreams of eating it. Ever. You say to a carp fisherman, are you going to eat it? They look at you like, what?
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gav, when I'm relaxing after I've worked out, I go back to my crib.
Uh-huh.
I'm going back to my drum.
Sure.
In my ends.
Your yard, yeah.
In my yard. I've got like old sportswear, but it's not the sportswear I work out in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And now we're into the area of sports casual or
athleisure, I've seen it being called before. Yeah. Athleisure
wear. That's exactly the word I want to now unveil to you in this article right now here about Sports Direct. Much like a pair of cheap Slazenger socks, city analysts think that Frasers Group will hold up well for a few months. But the Sports Direct owner is set to publish its half year results tomorrow. And Peel Hunt, do you know the broker Peel Hunt?
No.
Well, they're backing the company to beat forecasts. Now, Peel's analysts have raised the pre-tax profit predictions for Fraser's year. What they're saying is, with the UK population taking more exercise or sitting track-suited at home, demand for athleisure.
Lovely word.
Yeah, has been nice. You just really cheese-salad that, Gav. Kind of wasn't asking for suggestions. For athleisure has been very strong in general. Gav, what forms the sort of the focus of your athleisure range?
Well, I'm going to say your hoodies for a start. That's athleisure, isn't it?
Yeah, that really is.
You're throwing it on. It's a little cold.
Yeah.
You just want another layer.
Yeah.
But you're not formal.
No,
you might
not
be hanging
formal at
home.
No. For me, that's not even... That's not even. I don't even put that in with ath.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not ath, is it?
No, that's not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got your tracky bottoms and your sliders. Those are classic.
Do I like hanging around at home in?
What?
Just cycle shorts.
Yeah.
Just the shorts.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what I love doing in my cycle shorts?
What?
I love then ordering a Deliveroo and just checking that guy's face. Because he's not expecting that.
No, he's not expecting that.
No, he's not.
No, I mean that.
No,
yeah.
He's really not. What I love about this, do you know what the big worry is at Sports Direct? Because Frasers, for Frasers, Peel Hunt reckons, they've looked around sports. This year is likely to be as good as it gets.
Right.
Yeah, that's what these analysts reckon at Sports Direct.
Okay.
Here's the dealio. The analysts are concerned by the continued absence of trainers and clothing from the big brands such as Nike, because they've started to be a bit picky when choosing outlets and they're turning away from Sports Direct. That's not true. Sports Direct have got some massive brands.
Yeah.
Like Lonsdale.
Yeah.
Carrymore.
Uh-huh.
Donnet.
Do they still do Kappa?
I like that as a brand.
Yeah.
But Carrymore, man.
Yeah.
Caramel's a great brand. Yeah, yeah. Spalding.
These are heritage brands.
Dunlop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where else do you get Dunlop socks these days?
Exactly.
If you want to flash that brand. Where else, yeah? Can you buy a decent pair of Slazenger boxing boots?
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's the point.
You've got to go down to Sports Direct. Donne as well. Really good brand. I mean, Bjorn Borg. Bjorn Borg couldn't have won Wimbledon without a pair of...
Well, of course.
Without a Donne racket.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, of course they know that.
Everyone knows that.
But Lonsdale, man, that's a massive brand.
It is. It's not just about boxing.
No, but like I say, Caramore.
I know. Blue Ribbon names.
They really are, Gaff. Huh. So Nike...
Sector.
Nike are being a bit more choosy, they're saying, and that's why you don't see so much of their product... in places like Sports Direct. I just think it's the other way around. Nike aren't good enough. Until Nike bring out a decent clock, they're never going to get into Sports Direct.
No. No, I mean, Adidas need to put together a nice six-piece set of whiskey tumblers if
right.
they want to make it
right.
in there.
Or, you know, it's Puma have got to make a decent calculator or a ruler, you know? A decent... And then they're going to get in there. If Puma bring out a two-foot-size calculator...
They're rocking, yeah. They've got a chance.
They've got a chance of getting in there.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, a Nike bread bin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then you're in.
That's
right?
how you break into
That's
that
That's how you're going to impress them down there.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, more things like... Things like Adidas pencil cases.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to get you in there.
Yeah, yeah. Or Diadora pens.
Diadora pens. Or just those bottles you run with.
Yeah.
There's a range of them.
Oh, to go jogging, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that are identical, just with different logos on.
There you go.
So it's there.
Proper products.
Yeah, so you can choose. You say, I like that design of things.
Yeah.
Which logo do I want on it?
There you go.
Then you're going to get in there.
Bang on.
But I'd love Adidas camping cutlery.
I think so.
I'd take that.
Or an umbrella, for example.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, right.
Beach ball.
Now you're talking to me. Yeah, right. If they did a Nike bandana, I might get down there. Listen, any suggestions for how to get in Sports Direct, please? Keep it big brands, yeah, and some real useful stuff. The Puma calculator is a perfect example. We're back in a second.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
We're looking at some of the things. Nike's really struggling to get in into Sports Direct at the moment.
Yeah.
We just think they're not going for the right products. Luckily, I hope their marketing department's listening, or their product development department, because great suggestions coming in. For instance, and for Adidas as well, like an Adidas Allen key set, or an Adidas kitchen utensil rack, or a Nike bath pillow.
Some Nike seat covers for the car.
Yeah, an Adidas
steering wheel cover.
An Adidas sellotape dispenser. Then maybe they're going to get in there, you know?
Very nice.
What about a Nike beef madras? Says Dave in Norfolk. It's a very good suggestion.
A Nike lawnmower.
Right, Nike scissors. Now you're getting in there, you know? No one wants trainers.
No.
Or sportswear. That's, anyone can, Lonsdale can do that. Caramore can do that, you know? I bet there's even a Hugo Boss snooker cue out there somewhere that's probably in there. But
the large Nike egg cup.
Right. Nike dog toys. Bob says, I could go on. Bob, I'd love that. But I think we've given Nike enough of a leg up, and Adidas, those two big companies are struggling to get product in there. You just got to think outside the box. That's what Sports Direct do.
Ollie really wants a Nike kite.
Radio X.
Get this. A kitchen robot... I was going to do this on yesterday's show. They've got this kitchen robot that can cook restaurant standard meals, cordon bleu. Mm. It can do it for it's quarter of a million quid. And it also cleans up afterwards. Although, I don't know.
How can it do all that?
I don't know. But a quarter of a million quid, you've seen this thing, it looks really complex. You'd have to have quite a big kitchen to accommodate.
Okay, right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's really complex. It's got about eight arms.
250,000 quid for this thing. Right. It's quite a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
It's a hell of a lot of money, Gav.
It's less money than it would cost to buy Gordon Ramsay, but it's still a lot.
Yes. And I wouldn't leave it on its own particularly.
No. I wonder if
also,
it swears.
You've got to lay everything out? Will it know where to find things in my fridge?
That's what I want to know.
There's just too many questions. It's this thing with loads of arms.
What does it consider a pinch of salt?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I assume you've got to lay out a pinch of salt for it. But then clearing up afterwards, providing like the cat that nudged something.
Exactly.
And suddenly The cat sneaks past and it nudges the pepper, the chili powder.
No.
Right, man. Where
the salt was.
The flour was.
Yeah, or the flour.
Yeah, salt and flour. And it's like, I don't know the difference. Anyway, Gav, I don't know why anyone bothers with that.
Why?
Because in the Daily Star shop,
yeah,
where you must all look for your Christmas presents, yeah?
Mm.
Get this.
Go on.
A clever chef, intelligent, digital multi-cooker. Just set it and forget it.
So it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
And how much are they selling theirs for? Because 250 grand, that's...
69 quid.
You're joking.
Well, just under 70, 69.99.
Do we have any features?
One pot, endless possibilities. No need for separate steamers, rice cookers, slow cookers, or all those pots and pans. Clever Chef does it all.
Yeah. They're all the same pot it just described there.
You can steam stew, soup, right, soup.
Soup. You can soup.
Just soup that. No, but it steams. It steams. It stews. It soups. That's what I always thought. Well, no, someone can stew something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. They've looked around and go, soup? And they've gone, yeah, you can soup.
You could soup, yeah.
People have just nodded and gone, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, you can soup. Things have been souped.
You can soup things, yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Soup away.
Soup away. Yeah. Super. Roast, poach, bread.
Roast and bread and
I might soup it first and then soup it first and then bread it.
And then poach it just before serving.
Bake, you can fish.
You can fish as well.
Yeah, bakes, fish.
Oh.
And there's a comma there as well, so it's not bakes, fish.
No.
Bakes
and fish.
I'd like to sit over it with a rod dangling.
While it's baking and fishing. Yeah.
You can saute, brown, you can rice things.
Wow.
Yeah. You can pasta things, you can slow cook high, slow cook low, and you can yogurt.
That's amazing.
You can yogurt.
You can yog in there.
Yeah.
You can yogurt in
It's
there.
Got an adjustable DIY function so you can adapt your own recipes for it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it can learn.
And then it'll get you.
I like that because that's the other thing about the robot. That comes in, it's a know-all.
Yeah, the other one doesn't learn.
No, this one's wide open to learning.
Yeah, yeah.
$69.99. Who'd pay the 238
Solution.
Grand? Solution.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Right, Gaff.
Yes.
I'm afraid it's some bad news.
Why?
People have been panic buying cats.
Cats? I've heard of toilet roll, but not cats.
No, people have been panic buying cats.
How do you panic buy a cat?
Well, thousands of people panic bought pets.
Mm.
Because of, for company.
Oh, I see. These are just people living on their own, or just generally wanting
generally,
a bit more company?
Just, you know, they're Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, which rehomes pets across London and the home counties, said that they've got this research out, and it suggests that almost a third of new pet owners have acquired an animal on impulse. Never get an animal on impulse.
Never. Ever,
well, I've got to get one. I said to the kids, I'll come home with a dog.
Yeah.
And I'd like a dog, please. What sort of dog?
I'll take it anyway.
I'll just take any dog. There's big queues. It's a Harrods sale. People just...
Just grab a dog day.
Yes. Yeah. People just walking home with anything.
No, I didn't check. There was only a few left.
I think it's got four legs. I bought a three-legged Alsatian.
It keeps biting me, but it should be
all right.
It's
a bit nippy around the kids, but at least we got a pet. I don't know what it is. It's a dog.
You've got to get to know the animal.
What sort of dog is it, Daddy? I don't know what dog it is. It's a dog. You wanted a dog. But, Daddy, it's horrible. It smells.
It keeps biting me, Daddy.
It's just bitten Nigel.
Who's got a kid called Nigel?
Daddy, the dog won't let Nigel out of his bedroom.
Keeps growling at him.
He keeps growling. It's an old three-legged Alsatian stalking upstairs. He's trapped Mummy in the bathroom, Dad. Shut up! I don't know why I didn't even want this dog!
His teeth keep showing.
he's not good with kids!
Don't look him in the eye.
That's what I was shout about Jeff. Anyone that comes anywhere near Jeff.
Yeah.
He's not good with kids or other dogs! he's fine. You see people look, they look all panicked.
Oh my God.
Oh. No, get back! He's not good with kids!
You should say that when people come into your flat. Should say, come in, don't mind Jeff,
Gav, he's fine.
No but one... don't look him in the eye.
Well, that's not going to happen, is it, Gav? Because I'm isolated now.
Oh, that's a good point.
No one's coming
but
in
you
the
you could
flat.
Save it up for when it's possible.
Yes, I will do.
Yep.
I will do. Anyway, this charity said that risk to animals arose not only from people acquiring them, without due consideration, but also from limited opportunities for socialisation of young animals. So they're going to be very isolated with you. You're going to get a puppy.
Yeah.
And it might not have ever seen another puppy. Do you know what? I was talking to a mate of mine who's had a baby, yeah? Well, actually some mutual friends.
Yeah.
And they're saying that when their baby met Milton in the park,
yeah,
their baby's like 9 months old,
yeah,
and that's the first baby it's met.
You're joking.
No.
That's it, first ever baby.
Right.
Wow.
And I was only thinking, well, I'm not going to shout about it too much because I think it's the second one because Milton's met his cousin.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So that baby must have thought all people were big.
Yes.
Except him or her.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Now he's seen one of the other small people.
I just really wonder. You know, a while ago, there was that article about how they could spot when there'd been a rift between the king and the church in this country.
Why?
Because the church used to smelt all the lead because they owned all the land that the lead came from.
Right.
And when Thomas More was killed in Canterbury Cathedral,
yes,
then the church stopped making lead for the government. And
I see, as a reprisal.
Yes, but in the glaciers of Switzerland, they could see that gap.
No.
Because the lead fumes that come out of Britain drift over and land on the Alps.
So you can actually see,
it wasn't possible. You can actually see that gap. And I just wonder what are going to be these statistical glitches. No, that'll hide in our psyches and in the sort of behaviour of people and just this weirdness in this gap of socialisation. Anyway, that's me getting too deep. Don't buy pets on impulse, and also watch cats at the moment, because if a cat is on a raw meat diet, it will give you tuberculosis.
Brunch isn't a time of day. It's any time, any place. And Cadbury Brunch Bar is the delicious companion, packed full of tasty ingredients and dipped in just the right amount of Cadbury milk chocolate. So you can take back your time and do anything you want with it. Call a friend, take a walk, read a book, listen to a song, actually enjoy a cup of tea. Take a proper breather. Take a moment for yourself. Cadbury Brunch Bar. Whenever and wherever you need a proper break. Brunch.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Radio X.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, Tuesday, 8th of December, 2020. Remember it, because one of the great earthlings has passed. One of my top five heroes. In fact, I've only got about five heroes.
Right.
And this is one of them. So go on, Gav.
So the hero today, Johnny, is Chuck Yeager, in honour of us having lost him yesterday. He was born in 1923 to farming parents Susie and Hal Yeager in West Virginia. He enlisted in the Army, the U.S. Army Air Force, as it was known then, in 1941 as a mechanic because he had no degree. He only graduated high school and he had to have a degree to train as a pilot. But because America joined the war, 2 to 3 months later, he had a chance to train and he became a pilot. He graduated in 43 and he flew in Europe in P-51 Mustangs. He was the first ever pilot to make ace in a day. He shot down 5 enemy aircraft in one mission. Unbelievable.
Ace
in a day. He ended up with 12 enemy aircraft downed in his time during the European war. He was also one of the first pilots ever to down an enemy jet because the Germans were developing the Messerschmitt 262 at the time. Mm. After the war, he became a test pilot at Edwards Air Force Base and was selected to fly the Bell X-1 rocket plane researching high-speed flight and the sound barrier, which is what made him world famous. On October 14th, 1947, I thought this was in the mid-50s.
No.
This is 2 years after the war. He flew the X-1 at Mach 1.05 at 45,000 feet over the Mojave Desert, the first ever breaking of the sound barrier. The new record-breaking plane was sent instantly to the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, where I have seen it in the flesh. He had two...
Gav, you've got to try not to make these always about you.
Look, Chuck and I go back a long ways,
yeah,
John.
It sounds like. Gav, it's back a ways.
Back a ways. Yeah. He took that record with two broken ribs. Did you know that? He'd fallen off his horse 2 days previous.
You can carry on with a broken rib, Gav.
But it hurts.
No, I've done triathlons with him. It's fine.
He went on to break speed records, including in 1953, just to spite a Navy flying record. He went 2.44 times the speed of sound on December 12th, 1953. Still foremost a military pilot, he was promoted to colonel in 62. He headed up the training program for astronauts and test pilots. In 66, he commanded the 405th Tactical Wing in Southeast Asia, where he flew another 127 missions himself, even though he was commander. He retired from service 33 years after 33 years service in 1975. Even in the 80s and 90s, in his 60s, he was breaking speed, range and endurance records for private aviation companies. He won and was awarded all the honours. If I listed them, it would take longer than this hero.
Yeah,
it was absolutely amazing. At 89 years old, he flew at Mark 1. There's a quote from him looking back on his career. He said, "I haven't yet done everything, but by the time I'm finished, I won't have missed much. If I crash tomorrow, it won't be with a frown on my face. I've had a ball."
Do you know what? He is the reason pilots sound like they do. He developed that folksy way of talking, and all pilots talk that way, even on modern passenger jets.
Amazing.
With that kind of casual way of speaking, because that was how Chuck Yeager spoke. Do, if you've read it already, you'll know what I mean, but do, if you read one book in your life, you must read The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe. Yeah, you've heard of the film, you might have... You know, seen the
brilliant
book. I've seen the film, but please, please, please read The Right Stuff. It is one of the truly great books.
Chuck Yeager.
Chuck Yeager. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing. We salute you.
Radio X.
Let's change the subject a little bit because there is a giant rabbit, I'm afraid.
What giant rabbit? Come on.
The giant rabbit of Tyneside.
Is this a sort of Monty Python thing?
No, there's a giant rabbit.
How big is the rabbit?
Give him the manager's job at Old Trafford. There's a giant rabbit. A giant rabbit was spotted hopping around a golf course in North Tyneside on Monday by a photographer whose house overlooks the green. I saw a big rabbit at first. I got a drone up to see if I could find it. Then I got my camera and went on the hunt. It emerged. It was an escaped pet and was in fact a wallaby.
Ah, so it wasn't a...
No, but at first...
That's ruined the myth, because we could have had the giant rabbit of Tyneside.
I know.
We could have had news reports for years to come.
Gav, tell me about it. Even as I read it, I had to really wildly alter the story to keep the giant rabbit thing going.
When in fact, the guy
spotted a wallaby right from the word go. I mean, I really had to work that
right
to make it into anything worthy of the 4 till 7 thing.
And
Gav...
So much better than the Loch Ness Monster.
If you could spot anything giant...
Oh, my God.
No, but what, if you could mistakenly, good Lord, it's a giant, what would be the most exciting thing? I still think a giant badger would be kind of terrifying.
A giant badger would be really terrifying. A giant beaver would be really scary.
It would be really scary.
Yeah.
I mean, a giant rabbit's pretty bad.
I mean, obviously a wasp the size of a 747, that'd be pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right there, Gav.
Really scary.
It could sting a house.
Yeah, right.
Stinging other planes.
It could sting a truck.
Yeah, bringing planes down.
Yeah.
It's just a giant wasp.
Flying after them while people are trying to go on holiday.
Yeah, it'd be awful. We're going to have to flight delay, please. We've got a giant wasp on runway.
He's been tailing us for a while the last few hours.
It'd be awful if you looked out the window on your flight. There's a he's really staying with you as well.
Or even a...
You know what I mean? You just see it's
the sting comes closer
thorax
to the
sort of beating, not the thorax, the abdomen just beating up and down. And suddenly, even worse, like a queen bee. And now you know the swarm's coming.
That would be terrifying.
And a big one as well.
Really big, like the size of bears.
Yes. And
bigger.
As big as the plane.
Yeah.
And you know it's someone spilled a sticky drink. Someone spilled a beer. It can smell
that
it.
Plane is history.
Yeah, right. 83936, what giant animal would you hate being followed by if you were in a plane?
See, now that's a movie. I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
Because, Gav, they want to make money.
Plane-sized wasp.
Yeah,
call the movie that.
Plane-sized wasp.
That's it.
That's exactly right. Hornet. Hornet more scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Plane-sized jumbo hornet.
Jumbo hornet.
Yeah, there we go. It's done.
It'll
jumbo wasp.
You.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Giant chicken. Yeah, can't really fly though, can it?
Radio X.
It's time for what is... For so many of you, easily, not just the best thing on this show, but the best thing you've ever heard on the radio.
In their lives, John.
Yeah, in their lives. Yes, yeah. Sorry, Gav, you absolutely understated it, didn't I?
Yeah.
It is, of course, memories of me. I've had such a rich and varied life. I sometimes need my memory jogging, even though I've got one of the best memories in the history of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Things do slip through it. Mm. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm a flawed human.
Sure.
And this is a little story, and it's really good to have a refresher from my friend Rob Deep Blue. "Hey, Tej," writes Rob, "a few years back, I recall being on the world-famous bullet train traveling from Shinnosuke to Hiroshima. We've been on a deep-sea expedition for a national oil company. I was looking forward to some well-earned downtime." God, I know that feeling. "Shortly after departing, the train reached a top speed of approximately 248.8 mph. All of a sudden, there was a serious mechanical fault with the braking system. It was announced there was nothing that could be done. Not one to give up. I racked my brain, and then it hit me. TJ." "Fortunately, I had your number from the time my dive team came across you meditating in an underwater cave." Do you know, I used to love doing that.
Yeah.
I really, I've got to get back in touch with that. Unfortunately, my radio work.
Yeah.
It's pretty... "In an underwater cave, you would free dive to an air pocket deep in the legendary Cueva El Samán cave systems." Sorry, Cueva El Samán cave systems. "We had a good conversation whilst in that air pocket. You even had time to explain your full 30-day power cycle workout regime. But hey, that's a story for a different day. Back to the train emergency. I pinged a text over. It went something like, 'Hey, Tej, sorry for disturbing you at this hour. I knew you probably in a pump session at P45, but I was hoping you could help. There's a bit of a situation going down on my train. I explained the predicament. You wanted to know the model number, etc. But I didn't have the, as you said, deets to ping." I always say to people, ping the deets. "The train was hurtling towards its destination, 240 miles an hour. 240 miles per. Didn't take much to work out. We had very little time left. You told me not to worry. You see what you do. You ended the text with LTRZ. That's how I know it's me."
Yeah.
"Oh, man. Within 30 minutes, you appeared by the side of the train on one of those experimental government hypersonic planes. You pulled along to the front of the train and matched its speed. What happened next was truly amazing. You put the plane in autopilot, tied a rope off around the seat in one swift movement. You swung onto that train, straddled its nose. You unfastened your gold gym's power belt, hooked it over the front of the train. It then came down to pure strength. You flexed your delts, squeezed your glutes. Some of the passengers, they passed out. You managed to slow all 250 tons of metal through your muscle mass alone. We came to a gentle stop at our destination a few minutes early, which was nice. The passengers disembarked. You flew off under the sunset. As I watched your aerobatics, I like to think that barrel roll into a zoom climb followed by a falling leaf was meant for me. I got to tell you, it was meant for all mankind. Please keep your memories of me coming in 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thanks, Rob.
At ID Mobile, we don't waste our money on celebrity voiceovers.
"That's a real bad shame, because I'm the greatest voice person ever, period."
Instead, we put our money into giving customers great service and even better offers. Like getting a gift card worth up to £100 on selected monthly plans this Christmas.
"I love it. That's a really great deal."
That's why ID Mobile is a Which? Recommended mobile provider. Switch today at idmobile.co.uk. T's and C's apply.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
The French army has been given the go-ahead to develop bionic soldiers.
What, actual ones or pretend ones or drone ones?
Soldiers who are resistant to pain and stress and endowed with extra brain power thanks to microchip implants. Can I tell you where they get them from?
Where?
Navy reservists.
Absolutely right. We've got 2,700 of them available.
Yeah, 2,700 British Navy reservists available.
But we don't just want to hand them over. We'd be, what, leasing them for like a year?
I don't know, but get this, Gav. The approval came from the Ethical Committee of the Armed Forces. The deal is that ever since John Ratcliffe, the US Director of National Intelligence, said that China was seeking to develop artificially enhanced soldiers. Yeah. He said there's no ethical boundaries to Beijing's pursuit of power.
Wow.
Yeah, because on the global stage, they seem so militarily aggressive, don't they?
That's right.
Not like the passive Americans or British.
No.
Get this. The approval of this came from the Ethical Committee. They said that France needs to keep up with countries that are working to produce super soldiers. Mm. What they want, they're looking into implants which release anti-stress substances or improve cerebral capacity. Can I say, this is absolutely true. Research is also underway into implants that enable headquarters to read soldiers' physiological parameters from a distance. They also, other implants may help soldiers to differentiate between friend and foe. Good to say if they're French. They don't need to do that. They know anyone who's not them is foe. That's it. They've got no friends, are they? Also, get this. Drugs enabling soldiers to resist pain or put up with being held in isolation after capture are being studied too. Can I just say, what you're looking for there, mate, is Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's essentially all they're looking for.
They come like that in the first place.
Yes. They're just basically looking. They're looking for people who are like one, two, or three para. Yeah. It seems to me, having read this,
they can take pain.
At the moment, they've got Marines.
Yeah.
They want paras.
That's right.
Yeah, just putting it out there. Also, get this. This is another thing they want. It's cited in this French report a hypothetical case of a soldier whose arm had been replaced by a prosthetic arm.
Yeah.
That doubled up as a firearm.
You're joking.
Wow.
That's a dream.
Yeah, that really is. That's amazing. But anyway, the French should look no further than the British Parachute Regiment. Yeah. Think they're fine. They've got all they want. Ah. Yeah, from the lads.
As you like. Ah. Help yourselves.
Look no further, lads.
Radio X.
Gav?
Yes?
It just got real.
What did?
It just got real. Guess what got real?
What got real?
Global warming.
Oh, yeah? How?
Because English children may soon not be able to build a snowman.
You're joking.
No, or have a snowball fight, because it'll be too warm for snow to settle on the ground. Can we make our minds up about what weather we want? As soon as snow rises, goes, travel chaos for millions.
Everyone's staying at home.
Next thing, yeah? Mm. Most people only have, like, you're not allowed to throw snowballs anyway, most kids now.
No.
We used to have proper big organised snowballs. We used to take the teachers on.
Yeah.
In our school, it's fantastic. Massive snowball.
Yeah.
We used to go crazy.
Mm.
They can't do that now anyway.
No.
I mean, admittedly, a lot of kids at my school used to get in trouble for putting gravel in them.
Yeah, or just a stone.
Just roll it in a bit of gravel, yeah. No, right on the edge.
Something that really stings.
Yeah, right. But I'm going to just put this out there. This is controversial, right? But snowmen are rubbish. They're just rubbish.
They are. You lose interest after about, what, the first 2-3 minutes?
No, even less than
of
that.
Of trying to build it.
And it's horrible how they sort of survive into sort of slush men. You know what I mean? Now, who remembers a great snowman they ever made?
I've never built a really tall, proper
right.
one. No, ever.
I mean, unless you're unlucky enough to be one part of Kirsty Allsop's tribe.
Right, when
you seem to live in like a 1950s Cath Kidston past.
And a full-on art department.
And they've got a full-on art department because Kirsty's so busy. But unless you're living in that sort of one of those sort of quite Aristo past that doesn't really exist, but they do it just to sort of make other people feel really bad for letting their parking their kids in front of the telly.
I know,
for the whole of the Christmas holidays.
I have built them before, but they've never been higher than my knee.
You just lose interest. Anyway, well, funny enough, it's a big size solution. And I think we've got a good idea here.
What? What's he saying?
Well, you just make them small, and then you just do perspective work with the camera.
What, like the size of a hand? Small.
Yeah, that's just two snowballs.
That's
then you
genius.
Go inside and you get a hat and stuff off.
You could use one of those little baby carrots you can buy in the supermarket.
Right, you just use baby carrots, exactly right. You get a hat off a teddy or something. A
couple of little chips of coal.
Yeah, you find little chips of coal.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It'd be easy. And then
it's
just
much easier.
Get yourself a really small cat.
But if you've got loads of them lined up with all the sticks on it, look a bit witchcrafty. wouldn't it? Look like, yes, I put human hair in it and some blood.
And some human scale gloves to make have really massive hands.
But it is the answer. And maybe, you know, you just get a model, you know, from one of these, if you look at these terrible souvenir shops, that actually they're not terrible, because one of them's promised me a snow globe of London.
Okay.
Because I've bought Monster Munch every week.
Is that the one with the really loud music in it?
Yeah, that's the one. I don't know why it throughout COVID.
Why has it got music?
I just don't know why it's one of the essential shops. Like, you're going to go and they go, quick, my family need Oxford University sweatshirts and a
Bobby mug.
And a mug.
With a Bobby on
and
it.
They, oh, God, what else do we need? What was urgent? A letterbox.
Teapot.
Money box. Yeah. That looks like a letterbox, please, quickly. Oh, and some postcards of Princess Diana.
Vital services.
We need to write to anyone in an emergency.
Alter really loud in a sweet harmony.
In a sweet. Can I have a toe? Yeah, I'm like an Oxford sweatshirt. Sweet harmony. Anyway, glad they're open, and I'm going to get a snow globe because I bought Monster Munch. I bought Monster Munch every week there for the whole of the COVID lockdown. My little pickled onion treat. Anyway, the point is, Gav. You could get one of those pillar boxes they have there that looks like a money box, and you can have that as scale for your snowman.
Perfect.
So you could really work. I can forget what it's called when you make a miniature thing.
Diorama?
A diorama. Well, it's
sort of motion captured in 3D,
ish,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Loosely.
Yeah.
No, it's a diorama.
If you could figure a way to have one snowball in midair.
Yes.
Heading towards
Gav, can I tell you something, yeah? We've taken it too far.
Okay.
Radio X.
Radio X.
I'm sorry I never gave you the bears quizzing hunters. In fact, hunters have been quizzed over the killing of two brown bears in Spain. I'd just like it the other way round.
Mm. Yeah.
Bears quizzed.
Sure.
About hunters.
That's right.
And then have to search for them.
That'd be great.
I just like bears hunting hunters.
Exactly.
Just before you're allowed to hunt bear.
And who doesn't love a bear quiz?
Right. I'm just saying, in Spain, they've already got, you know, man versus bull.
Sure.
In there, and they both seem to hate each other.
Yes.
There's a bit of love from the matador to the bull.
And at least he doesn't use a rifle.
Right. But the idea of, yes, let's just give the hunter a...
telescopic sight.
No, I don't know, something like a truncheon.
Now we've got a competition.
Anyway, listen, we're back in a second. But it didn't happen. They're not going to do that. They're not going to set bears after hunters to hunt them. They've got to leave a trail of honey on their shoes. That's not happening, evidently.
At ID Mobile, we don't waste our money on celebrity voiceovers.
But you'll miss out on my soothing tones and witty one-liners.
Instead, we put our money into giving customers great service and even better offers. Like getting a gift card worth up to £100 on selected monthly plans this Christmas.
Wow, what a deal. Get to the shopper.
That's why ID Mobile is a Which? Recommended mobile provider. Switch today at idmobile.co.uk. T's and C's apply.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Ever since I told you about the time my dad used our bath to try out his new wetsuit, you've been sending your dad stories in for a segment of the show called Dad's Barmy. At the moment, my own dad is... he just keeps sending me his old-school news.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Just it's news about people he was at school with years ago.
Oh, really? Literally? Old
and it starts, John, you won't remember so-and-so. I'm thinking, I won't know. It was in the 1940s.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember it.
So you can hardly remember it.
You won't remember Jeff Deacon. But,
No. You used to work at Martin Lavelle.
No, that's why he used to work at Martin Lavelle's, the engineers outside Peterborough. But then he'll send me pictures of them.
Wow, why?
No, I don't know.
Why is he following up
with all
that?
You don't know why.
That's strange.
His latest thing is he was given a book by someone.
Mm.
He was given a book by a mate of his at school, right? And he found the book the other day.
Right.
Looked them up on the internet.
Yeah.
Wrote to them.
Yeah.
Found out they've passed away.
Okay.
And he's now in contact with that bloke's son.
Right.
And he says... do you want the book back? I'm thinking, well, he doesn't, probably doesn't have the same me. I don't know.
He doesn't even know about the book, Johnny.
He doesn't even know about the book. I mean, I'm thinking, but then my dad has now included me in it. He's like, would you like to meet the guy? I'm like, well, would I like to meet someone that you haven't known since you were 11, son? What are we going to discuss?
The book.
You know your late father?
Yeah.
He was once given a book by my dad, who's alive, thank God.
Unbelievable story. Anyway,
but he keeps telling me the story, and each time now I'm getting to the stage where 5 years ago I'd have had to say, Dad, you've told me it.
Yeah.
But now you can't.
Right.
He's 86 now. He's 87 now. So you've got to go, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Dad. That's amazing. So now I've realised I'm getting, because I'm now warming to his stories. You know, it's not fake. I'm just, it's nice to hear the story again.
Of course,
but because I'm being a little less harsh on him.
Yeah.
It means I'm inviting more of this.
You're going to get more and more.
I don't suppose you remember Michael Robinson used to. He used to captain the football team, of course, John. I think I don't know.
What is this? 59 years.
He's inviting me to reminisce about people I don't know. Anyway. Maybe your dad made up a middle name for your mum while registering her to vote. Perhaps you've got a dad who pre-drills mushrooms to prepare for kebab skewers, which actually is
all
not
of these are true. These are
but that's not a bad idea. If it's
He's
a good use
clever.
For a pillow drill.
Yeah.
Or maybe your dad managed to glue his fake tooth to his top lip. I don't know, but please. Your dad, if he's at all eccentric, has a place on the 4 till 7 thing. Like Alexa in Nottingham's dad, as a makeshift fancy dress, says Alexa, my dad stuck a plunger to his face pretending to be a Dalek.
Yeah.
And he got so badly stuck. He had this suction mark around his mouth for months.
He must have looked like a chimpanzee or something.
Really weird. Yeah. Go on, Gaff.
This is from Dan in Culverton. He says,
thank you, Dan.
My dad is called Arthur. He thought his name was too boring, so whenever we went on holiday, he'd get us all to call him Steve.
That's fantastic.
Because he thought it made him sound more exciting. Steve.
What was his actual name?
Arthur.
I think Arthur's more interesting than Steve.
Steve.
He wanted the kids to call him Steve. I've got to tell you, your dad might well have been on the run there.
Is that a Bionic Man reference? Isn't his name was Steve
Austin?
Yeah, Steve
Could
Austin,
be Gav,
yeah.
But I think it's more likely to be he was on the run.
Yeah, definitely.
And he says, don't call me by my real name.
He was a conman.
Stum, 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 stum. Steve, I've told everyone I'm Steve. This is from Andy in Swindon. Thank you so much. Call him Steve. Steve! Steve! This is from Andy in Swindon. When I was about 8, my dad taught me to swim. He tied a rope round my waist and walked alongside me at our local swimming pool. Each time I got tired and stopped my arms paddling, he would let the rope go slack. To the horror of other parents teaching their kids to swim from inside the pool with a float or rubber ring.
Really lazy as well. That's genius.
That's eccentric.
Radio X.
Okay, guys, we heard little Simon on the phone earlier. He was just talking to his father-in-law.
Yeah.
Who we know is really posh.
Yeah.
He's like the head of some clan. Obviously not the Ku Klux. I mean, like, you know.
No, a proper Scottish
clan. Scottish proper clan, you know.
Yeah.
And not just like a gang.
No.
And, or just a family. The whole clan were down there.
Oh, yeah,
the whole clan were down. And you, what were you talking about?
I was talking about my window boxes.
And what did you say that was just so... this is classic. Because it's the only time people are trying to impress father-in-laws or people of a certain age.
It's not talking about things you wouldn't talk about.
Well, the last time I spoke like this was when I was fishing on some Aristo's land, and obviously the owner came up, and suddenly everyone was doing it, talking about how lovely the dog was. Oh, no, because I seen it. Yes, my grandmother owned it, and it was just pretty talking about spaniels and stuff.
My aunt would raise spaniels.
Yeah. No, the spaniels must love it in there. You're starting to talk about this stuff like suddenly it's the 1920s. But little side, what did you say?
I said the Nemesia.
Go on.
My Nemesia. Are still looking spectacular.
In the window box.
The window box. You can't go wrong with botany.
Considering normally it sounds like Surrey. And my new Messier were looking sober. But suddenly gone, the new Messier are looking so good.
I was only planting them last
I was only
spring.
Planting. And surprise. How we laughed. What amazes me is, firstly, how few plant names I know.
Yeah, I don't know any. Yeah.
Gavin, I reckon... It's easier just to make them up.
Yeah, I think so, because they've got so many common names anyway. Yes. They've got so many sort of nicknames.
But I was down there, oh, isn't that one of those whatchamacallits? It's almost like, sounds like the name of those little sort of, it only comes out in March and it's quite, it sort of fluffs up.
Very brief and spectacular.
And there were these beautiful peekaboo lilies they had. What were the other ones you had, Gav? You had...
Well, that whole spray of how's your father's there.
Yeah, yeah.
The mind your backses were out early.
Yeah,
the mind the gaps. The Bob's your uncles.
Anyway, Gav, he's not alone, it turns out. A new poll is out, and it revealed that a third of Britons altered their voice while on the telephone. And indeed, one would suspect. I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
It's coming out with one would suspect. The content as well. This is the main reason for turning down regional accents is to sound more intelligent.
Right.
But I think in Cyrus' case, because he's talking to a genuine aristo, they don't mind that. They don't trust intelligence. They like thick.
Do you think so?
Yes. Definitely. They like thick. Just because you sound well-bred doesn't mean you're intelligent at all.
Not at all,
stupid. That's why they're set in their ways. They don't move forward.
Right.
That's the whole basis of conservatism.
Sure.
Being stupid.
Yes, staying things as they are.
Yes, because that's what you understand.
Bloody progress.
Yes, it's reactionary, isn't it?
Yes.
No change. Radical wants change.
Yeah.
The funny thing is radicals will eventually always win it because society does change. It is the only universal constant.
Yeah.
Ergo, radicalism must be more intelligent. Not as it happens, because it happens, it just seems like, oh, God, change!
Everything changes except change itself.
Yeah. Hey. You should get that on the Instagram, one of those. Hey.
I think that was a philosopher.
Yeah, it was a philosopher. Anyway, young people in particular were anxious to change their voice, with 56% of 18 to 24-year-olds altering their pronunciation compared to just 19% of those aged over 55.
Right.
This is research done by Santander UK. They found that guess who's most likely to alter their, to soften their accents? The Scots.
Are they?
Yep.
Really?
It's
just too strong.
Yeah, but who gets all the voice in, who gets all the work in voiceovers?
Always Scots.
Always Scots. Because you've just got to soften that slightly.
And you've got a perfect voice.
Where are little Simon's in-laws from?
Oh, the Scotland.
And you should listen to that lovely, sophisticated Scottish bar.
Oh, it works for insurance, whiskey, golf.
Oh, for whiskey, for everything. It sounds so much more sophisticated. You know, they get those people who are so English, they can only be Scottish.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, those sort of people who are sort of, hello there. Paddy McAvoy. Turns out he's English, despite the Irish and Scottish in there. Anyway, please, if you'd like to make up any names of flowers that might help us in our conversations during Christmas with any, posher in-laws, please send them in. So far, Gav, I've had peekaboo lilies.
The mind your backs.
The mind your backs.
The excuse eyes.
The how's your father's.
Yes, the spanner in the works.
Yes. Any of those, please. 83936. The cat's mother is simply stunning this time of year, says Sarah in Hexham. Thank you, Sarah. The old squirrel's folly from Tim. Tej, I've got a delightful sprig of winter whoopsies on one of the borders of the front lawn. That's Philip of British Leyland. And also someone else has got a delightful bouquet of Eichard cocoa blossoms. They're from the Shenanigan family.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Radio X.
We were looking at the way he changed voices because this was little Simon earlier. He was talking to his father-in-law. What plants were you talking about?
Nemensis.
Nemensis. It sounds like a thrash metal band.
Yeah, but listen to this. He was talking to his father-in-law, so he started talking about the Nemensis in his window box. some Scots thane he's talking to. I love this. Hi, TJ. My mum is always changing her voice, either when on the phone or when we're on holiday in somewhere like America. She'll go from a soft Mancunian accent to a very posh Cheshire accent. The full pronunciation drives me insane, so I make sure I go full Manc when she does it, sticking me bucket hat on and shouting a phrase like, "Ah, kids, I'm walking like in a Liam Swagger just so people know where she's actually from." That's Mike in Altrincham. Thank you so much for that. According to the article I was reading, residents in Sheffield are the least likely to soften their accents. And I put that down to, Gav?
What?
They're the last people just about in Britain to use the second person singular. The what in French is tu, of course in Britain is the or thy. What's wrong with thee?
Is it more familiar?
No, yeah, it's awkward. The was in British as a second.
Right.
But yeah, it was like.
I always wondered that, yeah.
No, it's like in Yorkshire, they don't use it. Sorry, in South Yorkshire, It was Sheffield particularly, which is the real last pocket of thee and thine. Right. What's wrong with thee? No.
The Sean Bean zone.
Yeah, yes, ish. But it's the last place that they're using that as a second person. So it functions exactly like two in French.
Wow.
Sorry, French. Why did I do that?
French.
Yeah, so that's probably why it's hard to change.
Yeah.
Because that two, that second person, that thee and thine is so hardwired.
Yeah.
And I was, what is wrong with thee?
No, it doesn't
just,
work.
You can't do it. So you'd actually have to shift the whole kind of, I suppose you'd have to shift your grammar a bit for that.
Yeah.
Polling found that as Dame Patricia Routledge's snobbish character, Hyacinth Bouquet, aspired to regal received pronunciation, most people in Britain, interestingly, where were the judge of that, John, like to sound like Sir David Attenborough on the phone.
Right, wow.
Well, really?
Oh, breathy.
Yeah, breathy. Yes, I'm still having trouble with my broadband connection.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear? In fact, when I start going on the phone, I might have a soundtrack of like a jungle just to really make it. It's here. I've been waiting 50 million years
for a takeaway
to get through. Yeah, for my takeaway to arrive. Where is my food?
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is the 4 till 7 thing. I've got goldfish and whale news. Gav,
yeah,
you remember in Jaws, the we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes.
Well, we're going to need a bigger bowl.
Why?
Because a colossal goldfish has been found. This goldfish, Gav.
How big? How
well,
big?
I've always been told that goldfish will grow in relation to the...
I've heard that, yeah.
So you wonder.
Yeah, yeah. There was a Dr. Seuss book about that, I think.
I don't know.
Ever-growing fish. Go on, keep going.
Colossal goldfish weighing more than half a stone.
What?
Yeah, that's like an 8-pound goldfish.
What?
Has been found by officials in North Carolina.
Is it in a really big see-through plastic bag full of water? What a really massive one.
Bin bag. A see-through bin bag.
But a really strong child carrying
becomes,
it home.
Becomes a real fashion accessory.
Yeah.
Enormous. Anyway,
go on.
Officials found this fish while running tests on stocks in Oak Grove Lake. It's the only one of its kind.
Right.
So someone obviously shoved it in the lake.
And just left it, yeah.
And just left it.
And it's grown ever since.
It's enormous.
8-pound goldfish.
No, it's 9 pounds.
Wow.
The goldfish was not considered a threat to other native fish and was placed back in the water. At the advice of professionals, we decided to leave the batch right back where we found it. Obviously, they're real happy here. That's what this official said.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at a picture of it. It's just a goldfish.
Yes.
But it's massive.
Well, so far...
It's like a carp.
The world's largest goldfish is about 18.7 inches long.
Right.
But there's no... No one got a chance to weigh it. They just measured it.
Okay, right. It's in South Carolina.
It's enormous.
It's massive. I think someone spray painted a carp.
Worth looking up.
Yeah, defo.
Really is.
It's massive.
Other news. There's a humpback whale that's been seen in New York.
Yeah.
It's been there before, but it's come right up the Hudson this time.
Right.
Which sounds a bit obscene.
Yeah, go on.
And it's cruised past the Statue of Liberty. And it's actually, there's a shot in the papers today which moves me of a whale just breaching off the Statue of Liberty. And I'm thinking, do you know what? This is, you know, the sort of aversion we have for any cruelty to dogs.
Yes.
The more we can bring animals into the real world, not in zoos, but as part of our lives, the less likely people will be...
Persecuting them.
And I'm thinking that's the thing with rhinos. That's what we've got to do. Okay, it might take a lot of sedative, because you know they're my favourites.
Yeah, and everyone would have to have a bit of training of some kind.
Yeah, you have a bit of training for it, and it's going to be big. You're going to have to need, you know...
Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, you're going to need a bigger dog. You're going to need a bigger dog, man.
You are.
But,
cars would have to
but
be
we would be a lot less cool if it was like, oh my God, they died a rhino. And you look at the, you look in front of the fire and you see your huge rhino crashed out there. You think, if anyone did that to you, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Your tigers.
Yeah. Definitely.
If you're looking, I mean, obviously, you're going to have to find some sort of sedative.
Definitely.
Because you can't have a tiger flap.
There'll be an on-ramp period.
Yes.
There'll be some kind of adjustment for everyone.
You say it. Yeah, sure.
An adjustment period.
Sure.
A tier one, tier two.
Yeah, there's
going
to be an on-ramp period, you know, where you know...
The uncertain period, we'll call it.
We have to warn neighbours when it goes out. It's out the flap.
That's
the
right.
The tiger is out the flap.
Sorry if he keeps growling at you.
But you imagine that first day your tiger comes home and sticks its head through the tiger flap, which occupies most of the door.
That's right,
Which comes in just below the letterbox.
Yeah, the whole and door flaps
and that's
open.
That's one of those high letter boxes. Yeah. Right? Whole door flaps. Yeah, you're right. The whole door flaps
the
open.
The frame is the frame of a flap. Yeah,
yeah, it's just got a door within a door. It just comes in. Yeah, you know, that's, but I can see that happening, Gav.
Okay.
So this is what I believe, is that the more we bring these creatures in, the less likely the rest of the world is to be cruel to them. Because the nations that are domesticating these beasts...
They'll get different press.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll get different press.
That's right. That's right. They won't be feared.
No.
Well, not for, you know...
Yeah.
They will be quite feared.
Whatever you're saying, yeah. last bit of news. Would you believe they found a new species of the world's biggest mammals? Scientists believe they may have discovered a new species of beaked whale off the western coast of Mexico. What I love is... When you get a proper enthusiast, in this case, this is Dr. Jay Barlow, who's an adjunct professor of biological oceanography at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography. What I love about the Scripps Institution, it sounds like one of those places that only crops up in Ancient Aliens. Here at the Scripps Institution, you know, where they've never...
It can't be a new species.
Yeah, well, no, but wait,
whale.
Wait, because that's why I was getting excited. He says, it sends chills up and down my spine when I think we might have accomplished what most people would say was truly impossible, finding a large mammal that exists on this earth that is totally unknown to science. But then I read the next sentence, which says, at the moment, there are just 23 known species of beaked whales. I'm thinking, okay.
All right.
We're talking about a sort of... It's got a different sort of pattern on its... Yeah. I don't know. But it's distinct. If you're listening, beaked whale, welcome to the world.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Now, Gav, today you've promised us...
A
medicinal and nutty supplement.
Yes, after we've done things like cocaine-laced hair tonic and the cordial balm of Gilead.
Well, we're having quite an hour on this show, aren't we?
Aren't we?
Yeah, we really are.
So today's hero, Johnny... I don't want to tell you what it's called just yet.
Okay. Is it as good as the balm of Gilead?
It's actually better because, well, you'll see.
Has it got the word cordial in it?
No, it hasn't. No.
Oh, damn.
No, it's just that what they're trying to call this product is hilarious.
Okay, I can't wait.
So you know the wellness industry?
Sorry, Gav, someone just texted R.
R. So today's wellness industry, Johnny, is full of rubbish, isn't it? It's full of supplements. That are basically just wood fibre. And they tell you that it's doing something.
Yeah.
And it's rubbish. Well,
pretty much, Kev, yeah. I mean, you remember I'm heavy on illegal supplements.
Well, I had no idea how old the rubbish supplement industry was.
Oh, God!
Because most of the Victorian medicines I've talked about have been actually trying to treat something. So,
look, Kev, I think the rubbish supplement industry is older than medicine. That's how it started.
Yeah, you're probably right,
Essentially, that is medicine.
So in the late 1800s, just before the turn of the 18th and 19th centuries, a company called Halsig Drug Company of Cleveland, Ohio, developed and sold...
of Cleveland,
Ohio. developed and sold a supplement just before the century turn called Ambition Pills.
Nice!
Now I'm gonna show you the ad quickly.
Is that what we've been waiting
for? This is such a funny picture. Look at the three heads.
Ambition.
I might even get you to read a choice line or two.
For weak and nervous men.
Yes. So
Ambition Pills.
So it's basically, it was a dollar for a box of these pills, which is equivalent to $120 today. And I thought these are some kind of pep pills with some kind of stimulant or cocaine or caffeine in them. But no. The American...
I'll tell you what, they're reading this. I wish I had some.
Well, tell us what it says. What does it say?
For a long time, we've hesitated to advertise Ambition Pills, fearing this remedy might be classed with the many fraudulent preparations on the market. A single trial will convince any sufferer we have a positive cure for impotency, sleeplessness, enlarged veins, and nervous debility, which includes troublesome dreams, evil forebodings, losses, despondencies, and aversion to society caused by overwork and other excesses.
Evil forebodings.
I love it.
So it'll cure that.
Yeah.
And obviously it'll help a young man who's nervous to be more ambitious. So anyway, in 1918...
But Gav, can I just say only reputable chemists can get hold of this?
It says that right at the bottom of the ad, doesn't it? So they're really trying to sell themselves as legit.
They're frightened that people will get hold of this and use it for wrong.
Oh my God.
It's too... Ambition pills are too strong. They work too well.
And God forbid. So the American Medical Association Journal did an analysis of the ingredients of Ambition Pills. And each pill contained... Some ferric oxide for the iron content.
Yes.
some pepper,
yes,
some cinnamon,
yes,
some ginger,
yes,
and a bit of strychnine.
Wow. Wow, a bit of a late kick there, Gav.
So the study was published that year.
With a kick of strychnine.
1918, and yeah, the pills were discontinued straight away.
But did...
Because there's strychnine in them.
Gav, what makes me wonder, though, is things went on, like, for ages. If you had certain STDs,
yes,
people used to inject mercury
or something
down the... And you think, well, that must have worked.
Could it have...
No, for a stage, because it went on for 300 years. You're not going to say, well, it hasn't worked for 300 years, mate, but you want to try it.
I still can't believe it must have worked. Well, it's a kind of chemo, isn't it?
I don't know. Something poisonous. Oh, yeah, it could
be, after something else poisonous.
But they used to say back then, like in the time of Shakespeare,
yeah,
because you find loads of these big pewter syringes they used to fill with mercury and just inject it down there. Old fellas. And do you know what? The saying was, a night with Venus, a month with mercury.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it must have worked. Otherwise, people go, has it ever worked? Nah, but just try it.
Try it anyway. You might die,
but, you know, not really. But it must have worked.
Let's do it. The Ambition Pill.
Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7. Fang! We salute you. Gaff, thanks very much. Absolutely beautiful.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You'll get the 4 till 7 Fang downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. It's really important you get in touch. We need your content more than ever, especially with Gavin up to his tricks.
In this time of need.
Yes. I was sort of trying to sign off there. Especially up with Gavin up to his tricks.
What tricks?
No. Especially with Gavin up to his tricks.
Radio X.